The Continental Congress, faced with great problems and difficulties, knew not which way to turn. Then it was that Ben Franklin called the members of the Congress to fall upon their knees and to pray. Can you imagine what would happen today in the great halls of legislature that we have if men were prone to pray more and talk less? As we remember, the first coins published in this nation or printed were those with a picture of Moses and with the title, In God We Trust. South American president was talking to Roger Babson once, and he said to him, South America was founded by men who were seeking gold. But he said America was founded by people who were seeking God. And how right he was. There have been great nations in the past, for example, Persia. But they drank their way to doom, and they crashed and they perished off the face of the earth. Egypt once was a flourishing nation at the time that Joseph was there. 400 years went by and they flourished with mighty power, but these people soon forgot and they went the way of other nations. Greece was a world power when Alexander conquered the entire world, and he established Greek culture, the Greek language, Greek customs and habits, but they began to drink and the nation went down. Rome at one time was a proud nation and ruled perhaps the world at that time. But luxury and lust ate away the heart of the center. America and the things that America has been built upon, these are the things that must be majored upon, or else the soul of this nation will be destroyed. Do you recall Washington at Valley Forge, his little army freezing, starving, fighting against the odds? But out in the snow, George knelt upon his knees to pray. That to me is something of the spirit that built America. What is it that makes a nation great? Alexander Blackburn said, it is not armored ships that land in great array. And he said, where justice rules twixt man and man, a place where love controls in art and plan, where breathing in the native air, each soul finds joy in praise and prayer. Thus may our country, good and great, be God's delight, man's best estate. And of course, we know we have this wonderful challenge in the past few days, as you no doubt have read about it and have witnessed. America has a great emblem, the flag. You remember David talked about this in the Psalms when he said, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. God had blessed his forces, and they had obeyed God, and they were successful. And we have a great flag, speaks of freedom. When you see the French flag, you think of France. When you see the Italian flag, you think of Italy. And when you see the American flag, you think of freedom, and you think of a people love liberty. And the meaning of this flag goes on from Concord to Lexington to Bunker Hill and across to the glorious Revolution. Our flag carries history, it carries ideas, it carries liberty. The stars come like arrows shot from God's bow. The white teaches us of the purity and the purpose. The red tells us and testifies to the blood that has often been shed so freely for its defense. And the blue, with the constellations, remind us of heaven. No wonder the brave soldier on the battlefield said, just let me look at the flag once more. Think of the resources of this great nation of ours, of the crops that are grown, of the fruit trees, of the minerals, of the coal mines, of all the wonderful lakes and the natural beauty, the resources that we have in this country of ours. Think also of the natural beauty that we have in America, the beautiful coasts, the Gulf, the Mississippi, the Ohio, the Rockies, the Smokies, Yellowstone Park, the Grand Canyon, the Redwood Forest, the caverns, the mountains we have here in Virginia, and in other places throughout this good land of ours. Nothing surpasses it in natural beauty. Think of the government we have, the democracy, and then compare it to the dictatorships of other nations. You really have to visit other nations to come to realize the difference between a dictatorship and a democracy. Because in the countries where there is a dictator, you find the concentration camps and you find the secret police forces. But we are allowed the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, of radio. And men today can criticize the president, but nowhere else in all the world could a man do such. Because in some countries, he would perhaps remain free about 24 hours. Think about the marvelous religious freedom we have in this country. A man can go out into a little country church, or he can go and visit a great cathedral in the city, and he can worship God as he believes, after the dictates of his own heart, his own desire. When you think of the resources and think of the natural beauty in the government and think of the religious liberty in this nation, you cannot but know that God has blessed. In 1937, Stalin said, "There must not remain in the territory of Soviet Russia a single house of prayer to God, and the very conception of God will be banished from the boundaries of Russia." Now, we are told that at least 7,000 priests were soon killed by the government and their churches torn down, and the newspapers and the magazines began to ridicule the idea of God. How different here in America. We have religious freedom, and religious freedom, a big part of it, we have to attribute to a Baptist preacher, Roger Williams. That humble man, persecuted for his beliefs at first here in America, fled with a few followers and went to what is now known as Rhode Island. And at Rhode Island, he founded the city of Providence, which is another name for God. And in the constitution of that state, he wrote down the decree that every man should be permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Now, when Thomas Jefferson and the others who were forming the Constitution of the United States came to write the Constitution, they borrowed the principle, and they studied it, and they used it, and inserted it in the document. And therefore, the Baptists, who originated the religious freedom in our land, had a definite part here. It is true that we as Baptists should give the right to every man to believe as he pleases. And this is the concept of religious freedom for all men. And America enjoys this freedom as no other country in the world tonight. Now, recently, the President of the United States appointed a representative to the Vatican. Now, of course, this is against the principle of religious liberty and freedom. We as Baptists do not ask the privilege of having some man sent to Nashville or to some other headquarters. I would not think that the Methodists or any other denomination would follow suit. Because of our deep conviction of belief in religious freedom. Then I must think with you of another wonderful thing that we have in America. In the way that God has blessed it, I think that there is no other place in all the world that gives anyone a chance as here in America. Think of Lincoln. A man like Lincoln living in a log cabin, he could study and read his books and finally reach the White House. Think of a man like Henry Ford, a poor mechanic. Now, Henry Ford was not always rich, who became the great industrialist because America gave him a chance. Think about Rockefeller, starting off in a poor way in America and reaching the point that he could give away millions. Think about Edison, a boy who had not a lot in this world, but was able through his genius and ability to invent 1,150 different things. We ought to thank God for the country where you can do this and where we do not have such a class system that will hold a man or deprive a man. I think every person who listens to me tonight will say, I thank God that I was allowed to be born and to live in the greatest and the freest land in all the world. I know that you thank God that you were born in this country with all of the opportunities which you have that goes along with it. The nation has been blessed of God. Now, I recognize tonight, as you do, that we have enemies. We have enemies, of course, on the outside. The communist foe, which is ever present, and which says in history they will bury us. We perhaps have other enemies on the outside. But to me, one of the most dangerous enemies that we have is the enemy within. For millions of people have forgotten Almighty God, as Israel did. They forgot God, their Savior, in Psalm 106, verse 21. The God who had led them out of Egypt. And many of us forget that our greatness and glory shall come to us because of the Lord's goodness and His grace. As a nation, what do we possess that we have not received from Him and at His hands? Year by year, hundreds of thousands of homes break up. We have the great increase in delinquency. And I wonder tonight if some modern prophet should come and say, yet 40 days and Washington, D.C. shall be destroyed. What would be our attitude? And how would we feel about it if God sent some prophet tonight, as He sent to old Nineveh, and said, you people have 40 days before I'm going to destroy your city and your nation. We think about the widespread luxury and pleasure, the delights that people have tonight. Oh, we would say our military leaders will save us. Our physical fitness will save us. And we are worshiping the things that certainly will bring destruction to us. All of the uncertainties and the fears, as a great many tonight trust in military leaders, trust in the armed forces of this country, trust in the modern equipment, trust in the financial might, trust in the technical know-how. But if we study God's Word aright, we discover that we need a new Declaration of Independence. Every America needs an independent day in his life. As Isaiah said, thy God reigneth. And America needs, most of all, to repent of her sins, to turn back to God. It is true we have gone off the gold standard, but it is also true that we have gone off of the God standard. And this, to me, in the nation, is more tragic within than anything else. As we push our programs of defense, ships, planes, tanks. Now, some of us think that this is just preacher language. Look at the present war. Why doesn't God stop the war? I think I can tell you tonight why God has not stopped the war. It is because God's conditions have not been met. And what are those eternal conditions? If you know the Bible, you turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. I heard a doctor say to his patient one day, "You follow my directions and you'll be healed." And I think God is saying to us tonight, "You follow my directions as a nation, and you will be healed. Clean up your lives, your homes, your churches. Obey my voice, or else you will suffer the fate of others." I think America needs God in her government. The greatest decisions that are made tonight are being made by men in public office, the president on down. I think we ought to pray for our officials. We ought to lift them up. We discovered in history that during the great crisis in Europe in the last World War and the World War before, the thing that happened there was that more people went to church than at any other time in history. I wonder here in America if we are going to wait until this happens to us, as it did in Europe and Paris and London. Men had to be under bombs and guns, and then people began to flock to the church. I think we not only need God in our government, but we need God in our homes. As one man went to the Capitol and pointed to it, and he said, "There is the heart of the nation in Washington, D.C. His friend said to him, "No, that's not the heart of the nation. The heart of the nation is in the home." And I think he's right. Look out in the homes of this city. Look out into the homes of the little village. Look out in the homes of the little countryside. And way back on the farmland. And there you will see the heart of this nation, because these homes make up the nation. Yes, we need this today in our homes. Grace Noel Crowell said, "So long as there are homes to which men turn at the close of day, homes where children are and where women stay, so long as there are homes where lamps are lit and prayers are said, although people falter through the dark and the nations grope, with God himself back of these little homes, we can still have hope." We need to get God back into home and government. We need to get God back into our schools today. I think one of the mighty influences upon the public has been the public school. And we need to get back to where God is in the school and where teachers began to build character of the right sort, and where teachers first themselves are of the right sort. And I think God will begin to bless again this nation. I think we need another Declaration of Independence in which we put God back into the churches. Somebody will say, but preacher, I thought God was in the church today. I'm afraid sometimes in the campaigns and the things we have in our churches that we crowd God out and God doesn't really have a chance to work. Yet the church ought to be the center of the nation, and every man ought to love the church, and he ought to lift the church, and I think he ought to be a part of it. Dr. Ayers, a medical missionary to China, tells about when the Japanese were bombing the Chinese. They bombed the Chinese hospital, and they ruined the courtyard about it. A week later, on Sunday morning, the people came into the open area of the hospital yard for a service. The congregation stood amidst the holes which had been made by the bombs on the previous week before. There stood a boy who had lost one arm and his parents had been killed. There was another man who had lost his wife and others who had suffered in various ways. And as the missionary began to pray, here is the prayer they recorded. As he lifted his heart, Lord, we thank thee that in the midst of war and suffering, there is peace in our hearts, that nothing can take away. We thank thee that no matter what happens to our bodies, our souls are safe. That was a great prayer. And I think this is what we need in our nation to realize. That if we, as the soul of the nation, have God at the center, then it makes no difference what happens to other nations around the world. Because God blesses his own. The nation whose God is the Lord, and whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. This ought to awaken us to the necessity of sincere worship of Almighty God. I remember that song many years back, some of you do too, in which the words run, God bless America, land that we love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. This is your home, and God can only bless it as we honor him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, for he is God's inheritance. We're going to sing now our invitation number, and I trust that if you do not have God at the center of your life, you will consider him tonight. 229, Jesus is tenderly calling. And may God bless you to make the choice, because future generations and the future life of this nation depends on the place we put God in it. Thank you. much, and I trust that we will be in prayer for our country and for our nation. I received word a few moments ago from our missionary down in Argentina who talked with some of his family and wished us a very wonderful time during the 4th of July weekend. I don't know whether it's cold weather down there or hot weather. It's cold down there. Brother, that's news. I heard someone was telling me this morning about the heat.
105.3 WXRI Norfolk.